Amen. Would you stand with me, please? To turn your attention to Philippians, the fourth chapter. Scriptures I read over and over again because they'll help you through anything. In the Old Testament, there was only one man that God said he spoke to face, and that was Moses. And yet, for 40 years, he heard every day complaints from people, every day. Children of Israel murmured in the wilderness, and I wonder if they had not murmured, if they would have been taken out of the wilderness a little earlier. But Moses, well, he was the meekest man on the face of the earth, God said. And he loved people so much that he wanted to help them. In Philippians 4 and 6, it says, "Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer." The word prayer there means worship. "And supplication," which meant bringing your request to God. "But with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." And here's the result. "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts," or your feelings, "and your mind," or your thoughts, "through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." There's so many things we have learned over the years. So many things. So many experiences we've had. "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." He's learned. We learn how to be content. We learn how to be in a place where, okay, God, everything in my life is controlled by you. Therefore, I just think I'll start to think about the good stuff instead of the bad stuff. I'd like you to pray for the word tonight, but also I got a text from Brother Glenn Wakefield. He is a missionary to Mexico that we've known for over 20 years, and he texted me that his wife, Esther Wakefield, is in surgery right now for some swollen lymph nodes in her neck, and they're concerned that it's cancer. And these people have been so dedicated to God. We've been in Mexico many, many times with them, and we consider them close friends. And so would you lift up Esther Wakefield tonight? Again, remember Sister Carranza and Rob Bowman's brother, Dan. He's had surgery today, and he's in need of a miracle. He's been around this a long time, and yet sometimes this is exactly what it takes in order to get people to make the decision they need to make. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, for your word. And God, we thank you for healings in the church, and we ask God that you'd reach down and touch Sister Wakefield, God. God, they have been faithful servants over the years, Lord. We ask God that you do a healing touch in her life. Sister Carranza, God, touch her, Lord. She needs a miracle. Dan Bowman, Lord, He's at the threshold. God, continue to bless as only you can. Draw people to this truth. Touch your word tonight. It's in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Glory to God. You may be seated. Now, you're not going to believe this, but I got calls this week from people in the church, and they had problems. That's right. At first, I told them they had the wrong number, but some of them recognized my voice. So then I said, I only deal with problems on the second Tuesday of the week. You just missed it. Can you imagine people filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, and they got problems? Hallelujah. Now, I also heard that your pastor has problems. And I'm in good company, because just about everybody in the entire Bible had problems, even though they were filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. I have no idea why Paul said, I fought a good fight. Except maybe there was a little bit of a fight. In fact, everyone here has a problem now and then, and there may be some problems sitting here right now. Last week, Wednesday, I preached the message, and I had at least three people come to me and say, you know, I don't know why anybody else showed up, because it was just for me. And that's what the Word of God is supposed to do. It's supposed to address the situations that are in our life, and God wants to read your mail so you recognize this is coming from God. It just doesn't come from a thought somebody put together. Amen. First, let's define your problem. Are you ready? Yes. Are you married to a woman? Are you married to a man? Do you have kids? Anyone short of money? Now, problems do not mean that God is displeased with you. Amen. Church is not some kind of charismagic, you know, where you come and, woo, it's all gone, and then we can go out and do whatever we need to do and then come back and get another fix. I'd like to help you with your breakdown tonight. If you're going to have a breakdown, you might as well do it right, you know? Brother Hefner invited a coworker to church Sunday night, and in fact, he called and he said, can I talk to you before service? And he got a little late, and so, you know, service started, and after the preaching, after the altar call, we prayed for everybody here on Sunday night, and he said, okay, now what did you want to talk about? And he said, you know what? It's all gone. None of the things that I felt were so important are important anymore. Now, be careful for nothing, but in everything, you know, give thanks. And the peace of God that we don't understand, the value of that scripture, the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart, your feelings, and your mind through Christ Jesus. We use that language. I'm going to have a breakdown as soon as I have some time. I'm going to have this nervous breakdown right after this project, as soon as I can work it into my schedule, you know? And then I'll feel better, like, okay, after that's over. Would you turn to Luke, the 21st chapter? Luke 21, verse 24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles till the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars upon the earth, distress of nations, perplexity, and sea, and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Verse 34, and take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. Actually, it means a headache and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unaware. One of the things that God is saying is be careful that the cares of this life don't come in on you like a flood, and then all of a sudden, the joy of the Lord and your commitment to God is gone. Yes, there's going to be problems in the end times. Men's hearts are going to be failed. There's going to be distress of nations. There's going to be elections. There's going to be all of these things that are pulling on you and creating turmoil in your life. There are 10 million sleeping pills consumed in America each day. Why? 25 million people each day see a doctor for emotional problems. There is such confusion in the world as to what is right and what is wrong, and nobody has the answer for it. I grew up in a world where things were just black and white. Either it was right or it was wrong. Now there's just gray areas. Nobody's right, nobody's wrong, because we don't want to be politically incorrect. I remember as a young man aspiring to be a president. How many young people would want to be president today? They don't even look at that as a job of dignity. I was 9 years old in 1957. They added to the Pledge of Allegiance two words, one nation under God. Up until 1957, it was not under God. I remember when gay was something good. There's an old Pentecostal song that said, I am happy and gay since Jesus washed my sins away. We don't hardly sing that song anymore, you know? Now, here are the keys to having this successful breakdown. You really need to have keys, and I'm going to lay them out for you. So if you're going to have them, you do it right. Try to figure out the answer before the problem comes. It's most important to do that. You know, the what ifs. What if this happens? Because it could. You really could, because that happened to my neighbor once and my second cousin on my mother's side, you know, and that could happen to me. And some people worry about things that will never ever happen to them, but it just steals the joy out of your life, you know? And if you think about it long enough, well, you can create the problem. They actually believe that sickness can come from worrying about sickness. Would you turn to Matthew, the 6th chapter? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, because of this, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat and the body than the raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all of these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow or morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And I think us Homo sapiens get to the place where we're just so worried about what's going to, we won't get enough, or we won't have enough, or something will happen to us. And God's saying, you know what, I already know what your needs are, but the contingency is put me first and I'll take care of the worrying, you know? Worrying is like paying interest on a loan that you don't owe. Too many people worry about tomorrow. You can make your life miserable. We also get needs mixed up with greeds. My God shall supply all my greeds, you know? Yesterday's wants become today's needs. Just travel to any third world country and you'll realize how wealthy we really are. We can spend a lifetime worrying about what might have happened or what could happen in our lives, and it robs us of the joy of enjoying every day. You talk to somebody who has had cancer or a heart attack, and they survive it, and all of a sudden they have a fresh look on life, and now every day seems to be so precious instead of, oh, what's going to happen? Now, some people can get to the place where dad had a heart attack. That'll probably happen to me. Mom had cancer. That could most likely happen to me. And that's the enemy's trick in stealing our joy and our future from us. I can match any sad story in here. But I am not here to say I'm going to be sorrowful. I'm going to be pulled down. God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. When I was a young man, I worried about losing my hair. Look how that turned out, you know? I mean, I remember my mother saying, you know, when I was in high school, the wet look was in. So it didn't matter how cold it was, you'd put your head under that sink and, you know, and she said, you know, Jim, you're going to lose your hair. That it'll just freeze right to the root. Now, I just don't know if that's true or not. You can't handle tomorrow's problems, but you can get God's grace to take care of you. You know what? I trust him. The very middle of the Bible is, it's better to trust in the Lord than in man. Hallelujah. Be careful for nothing. Amen. This peace that I have, the world didn't give it to me. You can't get secure enough. If you go to Ecclesiastes, you find that the rich man has very little sleep because he's worried about losing everything he has. But the worker is the one who falls asleep immediately because he's worked hard and he's enjoyed what he has done. Number two, try to relive the past. This is most important if you're really going to have a successful breakdown. Try to relive your past. People who can't be happy today because of what should have been done years ago. I should have married Judy or Trudy or Harry or Barry, but you didn't. And life could have been even worse with Trudy, especially with Harry, you know? I know something that God doesn't know. And not that I'm smarter than God, but I know all of my past, and God doesn't, because it's under the blood. So why am I worried about all of my past when God doesn't even know about my past? You see, every time I stand before God, I can get to that place where I'm thinking, oh, you know, he's not. Hebrews 8 and 12 says, for I will be merciful to them that are righteous, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. If God doesn't want to go back, why should I want to go back? If you fail God and repent, God doesn't remember, so why should we remember? I use this scripture all the time, 1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. God, remember the sin that I confessed 2 years ago? No, I don't, because they're gone. They're completely erased. They're washed away. We can make it through tomorrow if we don't have to drag yesterday with us. And if you're dragging anything from yesterday with you, please, will you just let it go? And some people come into the church, they let it go, and then they pick it up at the door as they're leaving, you know? Number three, don't make decisions. Just put it off. You know, I like that, you know. Don't do today what you could maybe do tomorrow. No decision is making a decision, really. Most of God's promises are conditional. I will if you will. And if you don't make a decision to do that because you're afraid that you're not going to accomplish that, well, then you're going to worry about what you should have done when you didn't do it. Most decisions we all have to make, we just aren't qualified to make them sometimes, but God is qualified. He would never ask you to do anything that he is not going to empower you in order to take care of. How can I be a good father? You can't. But God can empower you to be a good father, a good husband, a good Christian, a good provider. James 1 and 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally. So we're not qualified, but we can't worry about being qualified. I don't know of any man that I've ever married who felt like he was ready for the commitment of marriage. Or when they find out that they're going to have a child, you know, I'm not ready. Who was ready when they were having children? You know, this is on-the-job training. Glory to God. Proverbs 16 and 9 says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Number four, demand of yourself more than you can produce. This is very important as well. Let's go to Mark, the 6th chapter. Mark chapter 6 and verse 31. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. So God's saying that you should come apart and get some rest. In other words, come apart or you will come apart. You know, sometimes you just need to rest. I remember a missionary coming from Africa once, and he said, you know, you people in America have got it all wrong. Every time you sit down or take a rest, you feel guilty. I should be. Are you listening to this, dear? Okay. We feel like I should be doing something, you know? The Sabbath was made for man. Man was not made for the Sabbath, you see. God has intermissions within our lives. And this missionary said it is a commonplace for a man in Africa to go and just sit under a tree, and people would admire them because they recognized that they needed some rest, and that's what they're doing. No problem at all. America, what's wrong with you? Are you sick? You know? You got problems, you see? There are times when Jesus stopped the crowds and went and he rested. He had a body just like ours. A foolish man keeps working more and more and says, I am trusting in God to keep me healthy and to keep my family. When God's saying, come apart and rest. Jesus said that man wasn't made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. Sometimes we get productive work confused with busy work. Conversations that don't produce anything bother me. They just do. I'm sorry. I feel like, okay, if you're going to say something, but let's just not go around and around and around and waste my days. I don't have that many years left. I mean, get to the point right now. You know, I'm a bottom line guy. You know, don't tell me all of the facts. You know, I do not have to tell God the color of the situation that I'm going through. I believe that God is a bottom line God. Okay, just spit it out, will you? Amen. Moses' father-in-law told Moses that you're going to kill yourself and you're going to kill a few people if you don't start to rest and share the problem. And because just one person can't do it alone. How many of you love to put your car in neutral and just step on the gas and see how long it'll run until it blows up, you know? Yeah, I don't think we do that, but we're doing that with our body, you know? I was up at 4:30 this morning, and I'm starting to run out of gas right about now. So if you see me fall asleep while I'm preaching, it's not my fault. A university study of Pentecostals said what they did is they put blood pressure cuffs on them when they started speaking in tongues, and blood pressure went down, and a rest came over them. And the Bible says in Isaiah 28:11, this is a rest wherewith the weary shall rest. I know we can rest in the Holy Ghost, but we need to also rest the body as well. And sometimes we make poor decisions or we enter into a wrong mood because we're just out of gas. Now, as you get older, some of you are getting older. As you get older, they say you have just as much energy as you did when you were younger, but you just have to recharge the battery more often, you know? You can't go for long periods of time. You need to just recharge the batteries. Number five, believe everything the devil tells you. The devil is called the father of lies. He is the accuser of the brethren, a condemner of the saints. He puts us on trial every opportunity that he has. Did you know that most of our conflicts will come just before church? I'm telling you, there's no question in my mind, there are spiritual battles with physical sickness and conflict with somebody. Somebody will give you a phone call just before church. That's why I will not normally talk or counsel with people before service because, you know, the enemy wants to take my joy and you know, we will be distracted and then we can't worship, which gives us the peace of mind that we need when we're worshiping. And if you're distracted and your mind is thinking of something else, it's our Sabbath or intermission from life and from problems. And if you want to stay grounded and have the peace that passes all understanding, well, you need to be totally focused on God at least for the 20 minutes or 30 minutes that we have in order to worship God, where we get that peace from God in our mind and our heart. Otherwise, we walk in and we walk out and we still didn't get what God wants to give us, that peace, you see. We need to get a hold of the Prince of Peace. We need to have that understanding that he knows where we're going and what's happening to us. It's not a shock to God what's happening in our life. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing. Now we're going to go a little deep here. The word nothing in the Greek means not even one thing. So be careful for not even one thing. And if you're not careful for not even one thing, then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart and your mind on Christ. And we shouldn't be worried, because what it's really saying is, I don't trust God, though he slay me, I'll still trust him. And all these patriarchs in the Bible, they got to a level of relationship with God where, okay, you know, I don't know why this is happening, but I trust God, and I am not going to be robbed of the peace and the joy and the relationship I have with the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes we interact with each other, and what we'll do is we'll share our problems with each other, and that destroys the peace and the contentment that we have. You know, what is it about, I'll tell you my problems, you tell me your problems, and then we'll go sit in a corner and get depressed with each other, you know? We really need to lift each other. Whatsoever things are good and pure and honest and of a good report. And we need to program that into ourselves. When we're meeting somebody, we need to tell them what God has done for us, what I've seen in the Word of God, rather than coming up with, you know, and again, as we get older, we just have a tendency to talk about all of our operations, you know, and our ills, but there's so much more to be grateful for. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're just feeling better about what's going on. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. The doctor said, I don't know. I just feel good about it, you know? I remember visiting Sister Berg in the hospital, and I talked to the doctor before I saw her, and he said, Pastor, it just doesn't look good. It just doesn't look good. And then I saw her, and she said, I have this good feeling that God is going to take care of this for me. Now, could it be because of this trust in God and this good feeling that she had? You're not going to let me down, are you, God? You know? Hallelujah. A good report makes the bones fat. Amen. How many want to have fat bones in here? Would you stand with me, please? I could say if I have some problems, but that's not true. When I have some problems, what I would like to do is not invite Job's friends over, but I'd like to invite a group of people who have testimonies and a good report, you know, who will encourage me. You know, God really loves you, you know, because those are the things that just bring this positive attitude, and this positive attitude is probably as good as a doctor, because it just brings something to you, a presence of God. It draws the presence of God to you. Amen. Hallelujah. We all have problems. We all have been born in a briar patch, but it's made us stronger. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?